And welcome, Take Two with Jerry and Debbie on EWTN Radio. I'm Jerry Usher along with Debbie Giorgiani. And as we always like to say, pardon me, this is the show where you drive the conversation with your takes, your experiences, your insights, your wisdom. And today, we're really going to count on that because we are going to have a conversation today, God willing, with your participation, about why it is that some people that we know and love choose to, for whatever reason, leave the embrace of the Catholic Church. There are as many reasons why people leave as there are those who do leave the church. And I guess it raises the question, Debbie, even can somebody, I know that somebody can leave the church, but to act, I think it takes a formal act of defection, you know, a letter to the bishop or something to say, I'm formally defecting from the church. So when we say leave the church, we're really talking about stopping a practice of the faith, not going to Mass, basically maybe joining another church or just simply not identifying any longer as a Catholic Christian.
So we're asking for you to share with us the reasons that you think why somebody you love or somebody you know has left the church. And it's important that we have this discussion because we know from recent research that there are a lot of Catholics that maybe identify in name that they're Catholic, but they choose to either, like Jerry said, not practice or go to another church or, you know, maybe just on the different holidays, they may attend some kind of service. But here's the thing. We must get to the root of the issue if we're going to heal it or correct it or even identify with it so that we can better help our fellow Christians that we love so very much to come back into the family. So this is an important topic today. It hits all of us. It hits my family personally. And I really believe that what you have to say is going to help all of us. So don't sit it out, please. Just call in because it's a wonderful organic experience. It kind of unfolds the way the Take Two discussions happen. Here's the number, 1-800-585-9396.
Yeah, Debbie said it's something she it touched her life. It certainly touched all of our lives. So if you know someone, maybe a spouse, maybe a family member, a friend, a coworker, anyone who has stopped identifying as a Catholic, maybe no longer attends Mass or practices the Catholic faith, do you know what the reason was? Why? Did they share why with you? Because sometimes people do. They'll say, well, I had a bad experience with a priest, or I just no longer believe this or that church teaching. Or sometimes, Debbie, the culture can affect us so much. People can have a real challenging time on occasion with some of the more difficult church teachings,
right.
Teachings on life and marriage and so forth. And so if there's someone that you're concerned about, let us know if you know why they left. But how has it impacted you? Has that saddened you? Has that really kind of energized you to be more in prayer for them? And what efforts are you making, if any, to try and maybe help them see the church in a different way? 1-800-585-9396.
Also, too, Jerry, I just wanted to share real quickly that I really believe in my heart of hearts that when we watch the ones that we love and care about step away, There's this sense of grief and pain that happens, and this void that you continue on with your life, and you know you're a practicing Catholic and you're moving along and you're chugging along thinking, yeah, I'm getting closer to God and this is great, and then, oh, I remember my son or my daughter or my grandchild or this, and all of a sudden you get this sinking feeling like, Lord, why is this happening? I'm trying to be a faithful Catholic and this is happening around me. So we've all been there, and it's worthy of a discussion. So we're asking you to weigh in on this. 1-800-585-9396.
We know it could be a source of pain, and maybe you yourself once decided to take a little hiatus from the Catholic Church and have come back. So you know that road, you know that journey, and we are not in the position of judging hearts, judging motives. God is the only one who can do that. We are really called, our role is to pray for those who choose to leave an active practice of the Catholic faith and try and do what we can to help lead them back. So join us with your insights and your wisdom here. 1-800-585-9396. Other ways you can join us, of course, you can text the letters EWTN to 55000. You can watch us live on YouTube, EWTN's YouTube channel, or on Facebook at EWTN Catholic Radio. And you can send your comments through either one of those different portals as well. But the phone number, if you want to get your voice heard on the air, 1-800-585-9396.
Carry EWTN with you everywhere when you download the EWTN app. You can enjoy EWTN TV and radio live streams, shows on demands, prayers and devotionals, and the latest Catholic news. Visit EWTNapps.com today.
Post your intentions on the prayer wall on Jerry and Debbie's website. To get there, just click on the bright yellow J&D logo at take2show.com. Jerry and Debbie personally reply to every prayer intention that's posted. Others will also offer you their prayer support. When there's something important you want prayers for, post it on the prayer wall on Jerry and Debbie's site. Visit take2show.com. Click on the J&D logo today.
And I'm Doug Keck here on EWTN's Bookmark Brief. I just finished talking with my great friend Marcus Grodi about his new book, Life from Our Land, The Search for a Simpler Life in a Complex World. And Marcus, could you give us a synopsis of what this book is about?
Wow, maybe the subtitle really puts it. How do we understand Christ's radical call to simplicity? Often statements about denying wealth and possessions. How do we live that out? Mm-hmm. Does it necessarily mean leaving the city and going to the country and getting a farm? No, not necessarily, because you might find that's not a simple life at all. Mm-hmm. But the book's about is what Marilyn and I did learn and my children from our time in the rural life about living a more detached, mm-hmm. simple life in obedience to Christ, and then trying to figure out how we can pass it on to our kids.
Okay, very good. Thank you so much, Marcus. Look for Marcus Grodi's interview about his book, Life from Our Land, The Search for a Simpler Life in a Complex World. It's available through the EWTN Religious Catalog. Thank you for joining us on this EWTN Bookmark Brief.
This is Dr. David Anders, host of Called to Communion.
This is Father Spitzer, host of Father Spitzer's Universe.
Aloha, this is Bear Wozniak, host of Deep Adventure Radio. Mahalo nui loa for listening to EWTN Radio.
So glad you're with us on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. I'm Debbie Giorgiani along with Jerry Usher. And you're the important person here because you actually lead the discussion. We're along for the ride. We just kind of impart some different principles that we can work with as we are discussing these wonderful topics. And hopefully by this brief hour, we walk away a little bit changed, a little bit closer to God. So we're talking today about, we actually titled it in a question, why did they leave? Because that's what we're really feeling. Why did my loved one walk away? Why did my child decide not to raise their children Catholic? I mean, we're asking all these important questions, and we want to hear from you. 1-800-585-9396.
Okay, Annabelle, you were first up getting through, so we'll go to you first, listening on Annunciation Radio in Toledo, Ohio. Welcome to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie, Annabelle. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Doing well. So glad you called. So what's your experience with this topic that we're putting on the table today?
Well, my experience is I'm the youngest of seven, and we were raised by a widow mother at the age of 37. She was left with seven children, and she was the role model that I believe we all strive to be. We were in church every Sunday. My brothers were what they called back then altar boys. And we were there every Sunday practicing our faith. And over the years, I've had two siblings that have left the church. And over the years, I've just continued to pray for them because I truly, truly feel that someday they will come back. And I've heard Father Larry Richards talking about how everywhere he goes, that's probably one of the main things he gets asked is, how do I bring them back? And he said, you pray for them. And that's what I've been doing because They've gone to several different churches, non-denominational, and I do understand there was a time in my life that I felt like I wasn't getting what I needed from the Catholic Church. So I know firsthand, by attending other non-denominational churches, I got a feel-good feeling, but there was always something that I felt, something's missing, something's not there. And it's kind of like when you go home, you know you're at the right place. And for me, it was a Eucharist, because no matter where I went or what message that I heard, it wasn't the same until I truly understood what the Eucharist was. And right. I feel that I've learned my faith by listening to programs like yours, and my husband and I just can't get enough of Catholic TV. We're registered to see Father Mitch Pacwa in Toledo at the Pinnacle on the 30th of September, and we're just so excited to be able to listen to him, because I think it's lack of knowledge, to be honest with you, because myself, I never truly knew why we did what we did, what the purpose or the meaning or the theology was behind it.
Well, Annabelle, yeah, I think your last statement right there was really a real nugget for me. So much of what you said, I can comment. Debbie, I know you can too, but it's really about knowledge, Debbie. I think if we knew two things, if we knew who Jesus is and what the what the Eucharist is, that it's truly his body and blood, soul and divinity, nobody in their right mind would ever leave the Catholic Church. However, like she said, there is that deficiency in knowledge for whatever reason on the part of so many people.
Well, yeah, and Annabelle, you had a wonderful role model in your mom, raising, you said, seven kids, and so that was a beautiful witness that she was to you, an example where you were raised in the faith and you had that practice. But like you said, I've been in religious education for many years, and you listen to the show, so you know I've talked about this many times, that our religion, the Catholic religion, is huge. It can be overwhelming. And no disrespect to all our wonderful apologists and theologians and stuff, but here's the thing. Sometimes the explanations even leave us more overwhelmed, because we don't really know how to incorporate the wonderful, rich things that people are teaching us and telling us. We don't really know how to practically apply that to our own faith life. That's what I feel anyway. I've heard that from a lot of people that I have been in with religious education. And it's, I think it's important that all of us are mindful of that, when we are out there practicing and out there witnessing and ministering to others, that we really relate what Jesus means in the Eucharist and in our faith in a very real way. Because then people can identify and start to build, and they'll seek and they'll look to educate themselves better in the faith. But unless that relationship foundational elements are really built, and that eagerness to want to learn more, because we're built to know, love, and serve God, I think sometimes people get overwhelmed. I don't know. Did you ever sense that? It sounds like that's what you were alluding to.
Yes, and I also have taught religious education for many years, and we need to connect with people where they're at, because, for example, just birth control itself or abortion or the death penalty, I never really thought about it. I was one of those people that thought, yes, that person should have a death penalty. And then when I realized, well, why does the Catholic Church teach what it teaches? Once I started educating myself about why birth control isn't something we want, or why the death penalty isn't something we want, then it was like just a veil coming off your eyes, because it's like, right. Wow, that makes a lot of sense once you think about it. And you pray about it, and you connect with other people and surround yourselves with those prayer warriors like yourselves that lift us, lift everybody up and say, well, let's talk about this. Let's have a mature conversation about this why are you pro-life? Why are you pro-choice? And let's talk about it in a mature way and not be yelling or saying you're right, I'm wrong. Let's see, what does the Bible teach us?
Yeah, and Annabelle, I think earlier, too, one thing you said, Father Larry Richards gets asked all the time, what can I do to bring somebody back? And I think a theme that's going to recur through the show, Debbie and Annabelle, I believe, is that we didn't bring somebody to faith. We may have helped, but it's the Holy Spirit who, you know, God brings people to faith. So we want so much to bring them back, but we really just need to kind of beseech God to do that.
Right.
You know, maybe plant seed, be there to be an assistance to the Lord, but it's ultimately God who brings people to faith and keeps us in faith. So
right. Well, and to your point, Jerry, look at Father Larry can very eloquently explain church teaching and doctrine and the catechism and scripture, and yet his choice when he's asked, what can we do? He says, pray. So he goes back to a foundational element that we all should be incorporating. And this is what I believe God is much simpler than we make him out to be. So,
all right, Annabelle, thank you so much. 1-800-585-9396. If you know someone, family member, friend, coworker, who left the Catholic Church, do you know why? And how has that impacted you? And have you tried to be of some little help in addition to praying for them to help them come back to the faith? 800-585-9396. John is next in Homedale, New Jersey, listening on Sirius XM 130. John, welcome to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. Hi, Jerry and Debbie. How are you?
Doing well, John. How are you?
Very good, thank you.
Good.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Sure.
So in our experience, we have four sons, and our youngest happens to be, you know, more or less a millennial, much younger than the other boys. And that's where our struggle has been. And through conversations with him over time, and also being in an industry that very much markets to millennials, I think we have a very large cultural issue affecting millennials in the church. These folks are generally looking for very authentic relationships and truthful relationships. So when there are sins, and as members of the church, let's start on a micro level as parents, we are not perfect by any stretch. And yet I believe that in the millennials' mind, the expectation is that if you're all for this Catholic Church and you're all for Christ, then I expect you to be perfect, because that's what the Catholic Church professes to be. At the same time, on a more broad scale, sins that have happened in the church that get a lot of media attention, it's certainly sins by human beings in the church, not the church at large. But these have a waterfall effect. And the point was made that we can do all we can, but it is about the Holy Spirit. It is about God and Jesus guiding these folks back to the church, because they are expecting us really to be sinless. And so I think we all need to do a better job in being humble to one another, love one another, and help them to realize that there is blessedness in our frailties. And again, repentance rules, and we all make mistakes, and yet we come back to God. And I think that, at least for us, that's where we see the obstacle. We're making progress, but it's very slow and steady, and we pray all the time that God, not us, will open up his heart. And so I think sin plays a major role in the and maybe a lack of the understanding of the nature of sin and the fact that we are finite in our bodily form, finite people. We are not God, so we do sin. And so a greater realization that the imperfection of man striving toward something better is lacking perhaps in our religious education among the younger folks. Anyway, that's been my experience.
Well, yeah, and John, I would agree with that as well. And I just wanted to let you know that we're going to join you. We're going to follow the Father Larry Richards recipe today. We're going to join you in prayer for your son, and so that the right people, the right opportunities, and when he's ready and he's willing, that the right circumstances come in front of him so that he can grow and he can learn. And so we're going to pray for that as well. So just know that. And the Take Two family, like you said, we're prayer warriors, or Annabelle said it, and that's important. The other thing I just wanted to share too, what you were talking about, the millennials and what they're striving for. I would just add one other thing that I believe in what I have learned from in my experience with working with young adults is that they're also looking for concrete facts. They want to know if it's really, like you said, very truthful. If it's true, if it's unwavering, if it's, you know, constant, and they want that. They need something to hold on to, because in this world, as we know, everything seems to be changing and moving very quickly. And so the generation, I believe, really wants to get, foundationally hunkered down, if you will, in the truth of God. And one of the ways that I have always used, John, and it has worked miracles, and God bless her. I just found out recently, I think she passed. I've got to double check, but Joan Carol Cruz, Eucharistic Miracles, her book is phenomenal. And I have used parts of that with young adults for many years. And I can't even begin to tell you how they just go, their eyes open up and they get this, like Annabelle was saying, the veil is lifted and they go, wow. This is real, and I believe the Eucharist is because it's a source and summit. It's going to draw people back. So I don't know if you've ever thought about that, but just snippets of Joan Carol Cruz's Eucharistic Miracles is really quite amazing.
I will follow up immediately on that. Thank you very much.
All right, John. Thank you for your call to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. Yeah, that is maybe the perennial issue, is Catholics not living as Catholics. I don't want to say an indictment on all of us, because that's a little harsh, because we're sinners. You know, we have human nature, concupiscence, and all that. But I've heard the phrase before that the problem with the Catholic Church is Catholics. You know, if we were all living the way we should. However, I think it's also there's a responsibility on the part of other people to realize that. We're not perfect. So if they expect a Catholic to walk on water every day, every moment of every day, mm-hmm. their expectations are too high. The bar should be set high for us.
Right.
But everybody knows human nature, Debbie.
Right, right.
If a person knows himself or herself, mm-hmm. they know they're sinful. They should not expect anyone else to be sinless.
True.
Okay?
True.
I think it's...
Yeah. But on the flip side of that, I have a family member that actually has said numerous times, you Catholics need to go because you're all broken and you need the crutch of the Catholic faith, and I don't need it because I can pray to God at home. So that's, yeah, you see what I mean, John? I mean, it's an interesting...
Yeah, I've heard that.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, so
it's
an unfortunate situation, but I think the best thing in the world that I know I can do as a Catholic Christian is live a joyful Christian life, and I keep going as much as I can towards God, and God willing, maybe a little bit of that is being spread to people that I love. So.
All right, thanks, John. We got to move along here because a lot of people are holding to get on the program. So let's see, Dan and Skip and Tommy and the others, hold on. You're right after Michael in Detroit. Michael listening to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie in the Motor City. Hi, Michael. Welcome.
Hi. It's great to be on your show.
Thank you. Good to have you.
So I just want to talk about my cousin Stacy. She's had troubles with a lot of things, including her faith. And I just wanted to tell a little story about her. She struggles with addiction a lot. One thing that I've noticed is multiple forms of addiction can really screw with your faith. And I want to talk about one type of addiction she had, which was a sexual addiction. It was truly horrific, the things we went through with her. She couldn't control herself. We tried different things. Putting her in a Catholic school only made it worse. And I'm a strong believer in my faith as a Catholic, a confirmed Catholic. I know that it's important to accept your religion for yourself. And I don't think she's gotten there yet. So, you know, it didn't end up well. She's still struggling with addiction. I wanted to turn it over to you guys and maybe have a conversation about some things that we can do to maybe, you know, not necessarily the addiction part, but possibly a way to draw her back into the Catholic faith. I know she was not super excited about going to church often, and she hated the communion wafers. She hated the communion wafers so much. And where another thing she was not a fan of was the Catholic priests, the outfits she wore, she found them hideous, and that's another reason she got away from the faith. So I just wanted to get your input on these topics
okay.
a little bit.
So, Michael, real quickly, we've got a break coming up that we must take, but we want to hold you for just a little bit because I have to ask you just a couple questions just to clarify the situation. If you can hold, hopefully through a prayerful discussion, we can really maybe give you some insight to this. So stay with us. This is Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. We're having a very vibrant discussion about why people leave the Catholic Church. I mean, we're getting real with this. So stay with us. We'll be right back.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, president of Life Issues Institute.
Another woman has been killed by the abortion industry, this time a botched late-term abortion in Albuquerque at a mill specializing in abortion throughout pregnancy. Keisha Atkins died at University of New Mexico Hospital, the same hospital that aggressively worked to get late-term abortions done at the mill and now benefits from buying aborted baby body parts for its research. A congressional House investigation found the arrangement violates state and federal laws. The New Mexico Attorney General has an ongoing criminal investigation. The hospital did an autopsy on Keisha, and they blamed Keisha's death on her pregnancy, listing the cause of death as natural. A closer look at the autopsy points to the botched abortion. This is why statistics on deaths due to abortion are unreliable.
Follow us on Twitter at Life Issues USA and stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.
Dr. Ray Guarendi.
When I've had enough. I ask parents, when do you decide to discipline? One of the most common answers is, when I've had enough. If discipline is designed to teach, then we need to discipline before we've had enough. We need to discipline because the behavior's wrong, not because emotionally it's pushed us to our edge. Besides, when you get to when you've had enough, you're much more likely to yell and scream and say things that you have to go to confession for. So, the suggestion is discipline out of principle, not emotion. Principle means because it needs discipline, and I'm going to do it when I'm calm. Emotion means I'm going to be moved to do it just because I'm mad.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
I'm Brian Patrick.
And I'm Gloria Purvis. Tomorrow, the deep-fried Dominican, Father Aquinas Gilbo.
And college chaplaincy with Father Austin Litke. Morning Glory on EWTN Radio.
Now back to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie.
That's right. Now back to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. And we're having a great discussion about why people leave the Catholic Church. We're talking to Michael in Detroit. Michael, you, what a great cousin you are, because I think you shared it's your cousin Stacy, I believe.
Yes, it's my cousin Stacy.
Okay. So first of all, Take Two family, please. We talked about prayer. We're going to follow Father Larry Richard's recipe. Pray for Stacy. Pray for Michael's cousin that, again, the right circumstances, the right disposition, everything just plays out perfectly in her life, because it sounds like she's got a bit of a cynicism that's rising up in her. And the thing about it, Michael, is you know, when you said she doesn't like didn't like the communion wafers, didn't like the priest vestments.
She hates the taste of the wafers. She refuses to eat another wafer ever. We take her to church, to Mass, and she leaves. She can't even stand the smell of it. It's understandably ridiculous.
Okay, may I ask how old she is?
She is 28.
Okay, she's 28. Okay, so she's an adult. And here's the thing: have you spoken to?
We've been struggling with this problem for a while now. So
right.
So this has started happening when she was a wee niblet at 18 or 16.
Right. Okay, but Michael, have you spoken to your priest or deacon at your parish to get some guidance on this?
Yeah, I spoke to him once, and I brought up some of the issues that he had, and
and he was unwilling to change the communion wafers to something else. So I was trying to figure out a better solution.
Well, yeah, you can't
change the communion.
Yeah, yeah, you can't do it.
To me, it's you know, it sounds like there are just some much deeper issues. I mean, to not like the priest, you know, clerics or the vestments or whatever. I don't know what that might be rooted in.
Mm-hmm.
The taste of the communion wafers, again, that's they're pretty benign in their taste. I mean, a little bit of a wheat taste, perhaps. And then Michael mentioned the addictions and all of this. So, Michael, I think more than trying to look at these issues and kind of correct these issues on the surface, I think it sounds like, Stacy, there may be some wounds, there may be some experiences or traumas maybe deep within her that go back who knows how long that I don't know if...
Really
if
deep?
I'm sorry?
Yes.
Yeah, and so I don't, I'm not prying here, you don't have to share anything, but I don't know if there's been counseling, professional counseling involved or any kind of spiritual direction or whatever, but, you know, God wants to unlock her to have a beautiful, thriving life, but it sounds like she's just, there are some obstacles there that are preventing her from really seeing the beauty in some of these things that are part of our faith.
Jerry nailed it, Michael. I felt the same way. She's got a distaste for all the elements of our Catholic faith, and that's what I was referring to when I said said it about going for spiritual direction. I meant it. Talk to a deacon or priest to kind of lay out a spiritual plan to welcome her back in, or to not to change. You can't change communion hosts, and not to change the priest's vestments. You can't do that either. However, you can create a spiritual plan through prayer, through fasting, through all sorts of ways, but you need that kind of spiritual direction. That's what I was referring to when I said, if talk to a priest or deacon and say, this is what I would do, Michael. I would go to somebody you're close to at the church, even if it's a catechetical leader, anybody you're close to, and say, listen, help me develop a spiritual plan to help my cousin Stacy feel welcome again, feel open again to the faith. And you watch, because like Jerry said at the beginning, it's the Holy Spirit that does the work. We just have to cooperate. And sometimes we just want to fix it. We want to take that, you know, hammer or that screwdriver and just nail away, and we go, we got it fixed. No, it doesn't work that way. So I don't know if you could be open to that, but I'm going to pray that the right leaders in your church come to help you.
I just have one more question. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Yeah, real quick, Michael. Go ahead.
Yeah, so real quick, if Stacy is so against this Catholicism idea, is this something that we should just give up on and condemn her to the devil?
Oh, goodness, no.
Never.
No, Michael. I mean, you never give up, but I would say, I think if I'm, you know, if I were to interpret your question, you know, you're kind of wondering, you know, is there anything more we can do, you know? And I would say, do the things that Debbie mentioned, but I would say kind of keep surrender. Surrender is the word that comes to mind, you know, surrender Stacy to the Lord, okay? You really have to do that. You have to be concerned. You have to be fervent in your prayer, but also maybe a little bit hands-off in terms of, you know, just saying, you know, trying to do the repairs yourself, as you said, Debbie, because, you know, it's really God who does that work. But I would say be fervent in prayer, guide her, look for those opportunities, okay? Mm-hmm. Look for those little
Absolutely.
Cracks in the door of openness in her, but don't be too, you know, don't push too hard, you know? Pull, you know, be on the other side.
Right.
Watch for the Holy Spirit doing the pushing and maybe do a little pulling every now and then when you see that happening.
And the other thing too, Michael, real quickly, is when one of our family is in a dark place, and if Stacy's in that dark place, okay, it is our responsibility as Catholic Christians to pick up the spiritual end of what they're lacking. So she's lacking her need to go to communion. She's lacking her need to go to church. We need to pick it up. So that's why we ask the Take Two family to start praying for her, offering prayers for her. The communion should be offered for her. When you go to Mass, you should say, Lord, please, you know, let part of the graces of this communion filter to Stacy. You can do all sorts of things. And I know it sounds like words, Michael, but they're not words. They're powerful spiritual conduits to the Holy Spirit.
Michael, thanks for the call in Detroit. We are grateful for your participation in the program. Dan, you've been on the line for a while there. You called in from the Station of the Cross in Boston. So, Dan, we welcome you next to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. Hello, Dan.
Hello, and God bless you both and the work that you do. I love the show, and I just think what you do, what EWTN does, as part of the new evangelization is going to work, is already working and will continue to work great things for God and for the church. And I think that's part of bringing people back. So what you're doing, keep doing. It's wonderful, beautiful work. And
praise
God bless you for that.
Thanks.
Thank you, Dan.
The other thing I wanted to mention, and it has already been mentioned by you and previous callers, is that, you know, ultimately, we all know that faith is a gift from God. You know, fides est donum Dei, I think it was the old Latin maxim. So I think it's important for people who have loved ones who have left the church out of any number of reasons, whether it be apathy or whether it be, you know, here in Boston, certainly the sex abuse scandal was did horrible damage. There are any number of reasons why it would cause sadness on the part of those of us who still continue to go to church and pray for our loved ones. But it's important for us not to get overwhelmed by it. And that was all the point I wanted to make, is that it's important for us not to despair. Just as you have already pointed out, you know, lift these people up to the Holy Spirit and let God take care of it. Ultimately, people's faith journeys are all leading them to God. And certainly on EWTN, you know, I'm shocked at the number of reverts and converts to Catholicism who are doing such great things. And so I think just you've been so good about praying for people. I think if I could ask you at the end of the show, maybe leave a little bit of time and maybe the whole Take Two family could pray for those people who are, you know, in need of the Spirit to bring them back to the church.
Wow, Dan, that thought just popped into my head, and Debbie's nodding her head as well. So thank you for, we will do that. Thank you. Great suggestion. And
sure.
Dan, I want to say thank you for pointing out something that is so important to all of us, and that is, again, faith is a gift. It is a gift. It has to be embraced. It has to be nurtured. It has to be opened up and utilized and fostered so that it grows. And with all due respect to Father Mitch Packwood, Jesus was not a cowboy. He didn't carry a lasso, remember? You know, John chapter 6, you know, at the teaching of the Eucharist, a lot of his disciples left him. Jesus didn't grab that rope, that lasso, and throw that, you know, I said, wait a minute, come, I'm going to bring that. Jesus lets people walk away, and sometimes it's for their good, sometimes it's for his greater glory, but he's always got a plan.
Or our good.
And it's for sometimes for our good as well.
Mm-hmm.
And Dan,
right.
I think, you know, the thing is, if we run and tackle people and take them down and put them in a headlock and say, no, you're going to come back to church, maybe that's the worst thing that we can do.
Right.
I know that sounds kind of odd for some people. Dan, what do you think? I don't know. Is that?
No, I totally agree. And actually, the last point I wanted to make was, you both just hit on it, is, you know, we need to think that we are being called to pray for people. So it's a twofer, if you will. I mean, not only are we doing good by praying for those of our brothers and sisters who are, you know, away from the church, but it strengthens our own relationship with God. And maybe God is calling us more strongly to himself by planting the seeds for us to pray for others.
Very true. Very true. I just felt the Holy Spirit when you were speaking, Dan. Absolutely. You just nailed it. And that's so very, very true. And but Dan, here's the thing. You know why we skip over prayer? This is my theory on this. We skip over prayer because it's too easy. And that's why I love that Father Larry said that. And we always are looking for the complicated fix to thing. You know, we're like, it's so easy. Oh, pray. And so we just flippantly say that. But the prayer itself, any prayer, has just unbelievable power behind it.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah. Well, we
God
can talk
bless you
all day,
both,
Dan.
And the work
yeah.
that you do, I can't tell you how much I enjoy your show. And this is the first time I was able to call, so I'm very excited. So thank you.
Well, call again, thank will you. You, Dan? We'd love to hear from you again anytime. And thank you for joining us from Boston. Tommy, we're going to get to you in just a second here. The phone number is 1 800 585-9396 as we talk about why did they leave the church and the impact on a loved one walking away from the faith. How are we able to accept that, to receive that, and really make prayer our number one focus? And speaking of that, Debbie, you and I are both aware of a book that we want to make all of you aware of. EWTN Publishing has come out with another great book, mm-hmm. another offering featuring Mother Angelica on prayer and living for the kingdom.
There you go.
Perfect, perfect resource. If you have loved ones you're concerned about, get your copy of this book. It's a collection of 10 of Mother Angelica's mini books, if you will. And it brings together for the very first time Mother Angelica's timeless advice on how to deepen your prayer life and achieve your ultimate purpose, which of course is eternity with Jesus in heaven. So check that out at EWTNRC.com. EWTNRC.com. It's Mother Angelica on prayer and living for the kingdom.
You see how the Holy Spirit works? I just love it. Okay, Tommy, you've been waiting so patiently, driving through Illinois. Welcome to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. Hi, Tommy.
Great to be on. Good Catholics. I appreciate that. The topic just fires me up. Why do Catholics fall away? I think the biggest reason is because they don't really understand what the Holy Eucharist is. And the first caller said the same thing, not right at first, but that, to me, that's the biggest deal. So I think they need to be educated and continually have to work at it. For quite a few years, I grew to daily Mass. For that very reason, the reason I go isn't to listen to this priest give a two-minute sermon. The reason I go to daily Mass is the Holy Eucharist, the consecration of the Mass and the Holy Eucharist. If you really believe that when the priest says, this is my body, this is my blood, if you really believe that, how can you walk away from it?
Absolutely. Amen.
The $64,000 question.
Yeah.
But and I think
it needs to be explained that way, I think, a little bit more.
Well, Tommy, go ahead, Debbie.
I was just going to say, and that this is maybe a perfect segue into this. And I shared earlier about Joan Carol Cruz's books. Okay, and I just Googled it, and it said, in fact, she did pass away at 81. But listen to the first sentence that it says, and this is from a Catholic site, and it said, best-selling Catholic author Joan Carol Cruz dies at 81. It says Joan Carol Cruz touched hundreds of thousands of people through her writings. Well, the reason why she touched hundreds of thousands of people through her writings is one of the books is Eucharistic Miracles. It's all about the miracles of the Eucharist, and people were drawn into the truth, and they had a very difficult time rejecting it. Now, okay,
I love it.
Yeah, and God allowed that God allowed those miracles, I believe, because sometimes we do need that extra hammer over the head saying, okay, you want me to really show myself? Here I am, okay? But happy are those who have not seen and believe. You know, happy are those and blessed are those who really have taken on the Eucharist, and we didn't have to need the Eucharistic Miracles book or the actual factual scientific miracles. So, Tommy, I'm right with you on this. I get fired up as well because I don't know how anybody can walk away from the true presence of Jesus in the Eucharist.
The one that I particularly like, and I use that example because I know that with many of them, they don't really understand it. Yeah, but to be a good Catholic, and to be a Catholic, you have to work at it. Just like Christ had to work so hard those 3 years when he was trying to convert everybody from being a Jew or a Gentile to being a Catholic. He had to work really hard for 3 years. He continues to work hard. The Blessed Mother appears. She appears all over the world. And I even talk about some of these testimonies. Again, it's a one-person testimony, like a Steve Shearer, a priest down in Kansas. I met the guy a couple months ago. He went to judgment. He was on Mother Angelica's. He claims that he had a judgment of hellfire because he wasn't a good priest. Then he heard a woman's voice. But son, give him a second chance. And that's, you know who that is, our Blessed Mother, Our Lady of Guadalupe, Our Lady of Fatima. But the miracle that I really, really use up front and center is the one that caused, I believe I'm correct, that it caused the Feast of the Corpus Christi. And that miracle was in Italy about the year 1263. And it was a young German priest by the name of Peter, Father Peter, who had doubts about, am I really changing this bread into the body of Christ? And you know what happens. As soon as he says, this is my body and blood. The first thing he sees is he sees blood coming out of the consecrated host. It goes over his hand. It goes on the altar. Hallelujah, you know.
Well, hallelujah indeed, Tommy. And I think if I can just put a little bow and ribbon on this, and then we'll let you go, Tommy, to get to a couple other calls here. But when we talk about the Eucharist, it is the source and summit of our faith, but we need to get behind what we see and realize what is the reality of the Eucharist. It is the representation of the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. That's the central issue. Did Jesus Christ come in the flesh as the God-man? Did he die for our sins? Are we sinners in need of redemption and salvation? And how is that salvation applied to us most uniquely and I think primarily? Well, certainly in confession, but also in Jesus' body, blood, soul, and divinity. So a recognition of our need for him, I think, underlies an appreciation of what the Eucharist is.
True.
And when we realize that we are fallen, broken, sinners, redeemed for sure, and called to an abundant life, but when we realize that, then our appreciation of the Eucharist should only grow and be strong, and we would never walk away from it. So, Tommy, thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Jerry, that was well said. Thank you, Tommy. God bless you. Have a beautiful rest of your day. We are going to leave a couple minutes to pray at the end of the show, but we're going to get to Skip in Boston, Massachusetts. Listening on the Station of the Cross. Hi, Skip. Thanks for waiting.
Hi. Thanks for taking the call. I appreciate all that you're doing. And from my perspective, you people are bringing the church to everyone, as all the callers have said. What I see is the problem. There's a lack of love within the church. There's a great deal of judgment of others, and especially those outside the church. And until that changes, nothing is going to change. There are many good people in all walks of life. And until we embrace them for being our brothers and sisters, there's little chance of any change. You know, Jesus, as the other gentleman said, struggled for 3 years, but that was his duty, and our duty is similar. Until such time as we embrace, I'm doing what I can, and I'm willing to do more, then that's it. The Spirit is working. I'm not the Spirit. You're not the Spirit. The church isn't the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is everywhere, and we deny that. We say you have to do it this way or that way, and that's where the issue is.
Well, Skip, yeah, I mean, you're bringing up love, and of course I'm reminded of Jesus, how often, Debbie, he showed great, immense love. The woman caught in adultery is the story that... Well...
He wasn't a judger. He just pointed out, look, this is a better way of doing things.
Well, Skip, let's remember that Jesus did have some harsh words and actions toward the self-righteous, okay? Jesus did definitely judge, if you will, and he alone can judge because he's God, but he was able to point out, what did he say, get the log out of your own eye before, trying to clear the splinter out of your brother's eye. So Jesus did have some harsh words for those who felt like they were not in need of him,
above the
need of salvation. And so, but yeah, I mean, love is the key. And the thing is, people are hurting. And if you've got someone who, Debbie, we talk about this all the time, even on this show, if you have somebody who is in a very, very bad place emotionally, spiritually, psychologically, whatever, if you first thing you say to them is, hey, well, you know what the Bible says about that, or the Catechism says,
right.
Yeah, you want to find the right time to bring those in. But the first thing you want to do is say, I love you.
Mm-hmm.
I love you. God loves you. You are lovable. Mm-hmm. People need to know they're lovable, and then they'll open themselves up to God. And
yeah. And the other thing I just wanted to add, Jerry said it so beautifully, Skip, is that love, I mean, we know God is love, but also love is the truth, because the truth will set you free. And so if you love somebody, I mean, you wouldn't hand your child something that is based on a lie. You wouldn't do that. We give our child our children the truth in all ways, and hopefully we do it through love. And so I struggle a little bit, Skip, with what you're saying, only because sometimes I feel like when we throw out the term love, it's like, okay, it's a free-for-all. You know, if Jerry's happy and he's committing a crime, well, then I'm happy because Jerry's happy because I'm happy. No, somewhere along the line, there has to be that beautiful truth through love. So I think it kind of goes together, Skip. I hope I said that correctly. Is that cool with you?
I want to add, first off, I'd like to offer an acronym for love, all right?
Okay.
Listen, observe, validate, and empathize. When you perform those four things, you are loving someone. And most people, as you said, have been drawn in some addiction that doesn't serve them well, and they don't even realize it because they've gravitated to circles where they're encouraged in that. If my child does something, he does it until such time as I take him aside and say, why have you done that? Give me some insight, and so forth. And that's what love does. Allow someone to speak where they're coming from without a judgment, with a sense of, I hear what you're saying. I observe what you're saying. I'm going to validate that's what you said. And now, can I offer this other explanation? That doesn't take place. There's
right.
a lot of patience and understanding in doing that.
Absolutely. I agree with you 100%, Skip, but did you hear what you said? After you empathized, after you related to, after you validated, then you offered. That in that offering is the truth. You offered another solution for your child to get out of the things that were binding them. And Skip, to me, that is complete love. And I agree with you. I'm all for empathizing and validating and then offering. You're right. Not to hammer it over their head and say, this is the way you have to do it. I agree with you 100%. That's not going to win people over, and that's not a sense of love. That's intimidate. You know, you're intimidating them. However, offering them presents them freedom. And that's where God, I believe, the Holy Spirit is. Jerry, what do you think?
Yeah, Skip, thank you for the call. We are just simply running out of time. Caroline in San Diego, we are not going to be able to get to you or any of the other callers. We apologize for that. I guess just the last thought I would add to that is I think we have an epidemic in the world of people who there's a problem of not judging. And I'm not talking about judging people. I'm talking about judging actions.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody wants to be tolerant. And your truth is your truth. I can't, who am I? You know, a lot of people even point to what Pope Francis says, who am I to judge? Well, if you understand in context what he said, on that airplane interview, he was saying, it's not my place to judge somebody's heart or soul or where they are with God.
Right.
But we can judge actions and fruits and so forth. And really, Debbie, the only reason that we would speak with somebody about something they're doing in love mm-hmm. is because through judgment, we see that there is something disordered there, okay? But it's not leading with a judgmental approach. It's leading with love, and I love the acronym that Skip gave us.
I wrote it down.
Listening, observing, validating, and empathizing.
Yeah.
Good. I'm glad you wrote that down.
I did write it.
Good thing you take notes on this show.
And can I just say, Caroline, email us because you have something to say about religious education. I think that's what the comment is. I'd love to hear it, Caroline, at take2@ewtn.com. That's take2@ewtn.com. Are we going to pray?
Yeah, let's pray. And Sandra, who emailed us, we're going to pray for your three sons who are, for various reasons, not practicing their faith. Thank you, Sandra, for emailing us at take2@ewtn.com. Father, there are so many people that we love and care for who are not, maybe not practicing the faith the way we would want them to, or even the way you would want them to, but we know that you hold them in the palm of your hand, and we keep them deep within our hearts and in our minds. Father, you do the heavy lifting. Please lead all souls to you, Father. That is why you sent your Son into the world to die, so that we might all have salvation, every single man, woman, and child who will ever live. Help us to see those opportunities, those seeds that we can plant. And then as Deacon Harold Burke-Siver says, get out of the way and let your Holy Spirit do the work. So, Father, we thank you for this time together. Thank you for all the calls. And we ask this all in Jesus' name.
Amen. That was a beautiful prayer. Tomorrow's show, we titled it, Do You Have an Exit Strategy? And no, we're not talking about euthanasia, and we're not, and there's a little tongue-in-cheek. We're talking about, do you have plans for your retirement? That's what we're talking about tomorrow on Take Two. But another great discussion we had today, and dear listeners, you're amazing. What you do for Take Two is fabulous. So thank you for your participation.
Have a beautiful and blessed day. We'll talk to you tomorrow.